This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
It's my very special pleasure to say a very big warm Bent Notes welcome all the way from Sydney to Tom Evgenikos. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, thanks, David. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
A pleasure indeed. And did I get your last name correct in pronunciation?
Evgenikos.
Evgenikos. Excellent. I believe that there was a young boy around about 12 years of age at some stage who got written up in the paper as being able to play a mean trumpet and was an amazing busker. Does that happen to be someone you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know them personally, but some people may know. That was, of course, me actually raising money for a school band trip. Actually, yeah, I went to a great high school, Chatsworth High School, and every couple of years there was always an international tour on. And I was a young lad in year seven. Yes, my way to go on the tour was to busk every weekend and, try and afford the flights that way.
And you got invited into the studios of the ABC. What a privilege.
Yeah, it was. Looking back on it, every morning when I'm driving around, I listen to that show and I forget that I was actually a guest on the breakfast show. That's really funny.
So did you have to get yourself a busking license?
I did, yeah.
Was that difficult to get?
Yeah, it was a bit of a steep learning curve, and all those sort of things that I guess come with a job.
Indeed, it's just another one of those skills that you need to learn.
That's right, yeah.
What was it about the trumpet that caught your attention?
I think initially it was just, all the different sounds that you can get out of a trumpet. It's just, it's a lot easier than other instruments, I suppose, like especially compared to a piano or something, to manipulate the sound. And I think that really drew my attention. And as well as that, my older brother played saxophone, so I didn't want to play the same instrument as him.
Well, yeah, that's fair enough, because if you're both playing the same instrument, it's a little bit difficult to put a full band together.
That's right.
Any other musicians in the family, Tom?
My dad actually used to play trumpet as well when he was a young boy. My mother played guitar. And, also my brother and saxophone. I guess you could say we're a musical family.
Very good. So that would suggest that you've had lots of encouragement during your younger years to become a musician and create that skill, build that skill set.
Yeah, that's right. My parents have always been so supportive. I've also been incredibly privileged to have really great teachers along the way as well. So that certainly helps. I guess makes you realise that you don't really even consider that you can do it as a career. And I think having really great teachers, going to see their gigs and things, you actually realise that it's a possibility. That was, incredibly lucky.
When did you realise that it was actually going to be your career?
I don't even know if there was an exact moment. I think it's a bit of a cliche. A lot of people say that it sort of chooses you, and I could never see myself doing anything else, to be honest. I think I was just sort of gradually became the thing that I did. And
just a natural process from the day you picked up the trumpet.
Yeah, that's right.
Wonderful. Well, what's the big memory you have along your musical career to date? Is there something that really stands out as being either super special or super significant in your journey?
I remember seeing my high school trumpet teacher, Warwick Alder, play a live gig city, and I think I just thought that was amazing. And I just remember my question, I think I asked him in my next lesson, how did you do that? I think seeing all of this music made on just one sheet of paper that everyone was reading off was incredible as well. I think from that moment, I was really obsessed with it.
Being able to take one piece of paper and have a complete gig out of it was the secret you saw, and you wanted to know what that secret was.
I guess so, yeah. think just there's just so much going on, and seeing all, you know, I obviously hadn't seen it live before that point. I think just seeing all the interaction and all the different solos really drew me to it.
There's so many avenues, so many subgenres of jazz, Tom. Why have you chosen the subgenre that you've got at the moment with Delay 45?
It's an interesting question. I don't think it was something that we necessarily chose. I think all the members of the band have really into things of their own. For example, our bass player plays a lot of sort of pub rock gigs and is really into that scene. And our drummer has his own hip-hop band and is really into hip-hop. And the piano player is also really into experimental electronic music. So I think all of those influences and just the different skill set that everyone brings makes the music sound the way that it does. We all studied at the con together, the Sydney Con. We have this class called Concert Practice, which is basically you get to sign up with a band and play in front of your peers and get critiqued. That's a once a week thing. There's a very strict time restraint. To sort of overcome those time restraints with the amount of material that we had, we decided to just segue through the song, through having these sort of simple parameters. When we did that, we realized that a lot of things started to happen musically, and there was a lot of spontaneity. I think we really liked that. From then on, it was sort of just almost it became like an implicit thing. Okay, that's the way that we're going to play from now on.
It's an interesting way of doing it. I suppose if you stop performing one piece and then you say thank you everybody, they clap, and then you have to start the next piece up, there's probably a minute and a half to 2 minutes lost in that. So it sounds like you've come up with a very practical approach to getting through everything you've got to get to.
Yeah, that was exactly the original idea, and it really has evolved into something else. Interestingly enough, a lot of bands, young bands in Sydney, are actually playing in this way. And I think a lot of that actually does have to do with this class that we all take. It's quite interesting.
Maybe we should change the name of the class to the through class.
Through composed class.
Now, Tom, you've won a few awards in your years and participated in a number of competitions. Is there a reason why you participate in competitions?
That's a good question. I guess the number one thing is, first, just going to say it, because of money.
Well, it's a very important part, yes.
And I guess also just having that sort of exposure is important as well. And we all have to, at the end of the day, we all need to make a living out of this to keep on doing what we do.
That's right.
So the exposure is important. I guess for me, just having that sort of affirmation that I'm a good player and that, that I'm on the right track was to have. Even though, I think I've got a lot of self-belief, I think just having that, having that other thing with other people affirming that you're a good player was important for me as well.
It's certainly nice to get the confirmation that what you're doing is actually on the right track and sounding good. And it doesn't matter who the confirmation comes from. It's nice to receive, and it just helps you to move forward and up that next step, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Do you feel when you're involved in competitions somewhat strange that you're on stage there with all these other musos doing the same thing as you?
Well, when I did the Wangaratta competition, National Jazz Awards, I actually didn't watch anyone else play, just because I sort of wanted to just sort of treat it like a gig, I guess, and that it was great to play with an amazing backing band. I tried to take the competition element out of it, and I think it also helped that I was a lot younger. I think I was the youngest in the competition, so I think the pressure wasn't necessarily on me.
Yes.
So I sort of had a bit more of a fearless approach, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas, perhaps there's a bit more on the line for other people. But I don't know. I think it's important not to read too much into it. I think, given any good player in the right scenario and with people who they like to play with, always sounds incredible.
Incredible.
And anyone in the competition, I would pay good money to go and see their band play.
Indeed. For anyone who gets up onto the stage at the National Jazz Awards, they've all already earned their stripes and well worth seeing wherever they happen to be performing. You're quite right there, Tom. Now, Delay 45, are they worth seeing?
Well, I hope so.
Well, the answer is of course.
You know, we're really happy with the way things are going, and we're continually developing every time we play. Something else, something new seems to happen. I think the music's really interesting, and that people who come to see us play are always taken on a bit of a journey.
And you've got that journey happening there with Big Ears, which is your first release. You've got some other releases planned, perhaps?
Yeah, I've actually just finished recording with Josh Benya, the trombonist in Melbourne.
Yep.
We've got a new band called Tucker Box, which also features an amazing young bass player, Jacques Emery, and he's from Sydney as well. Luke Andresen, the drummer in Melbourne. So it's a bit of an interstate collaboration. So that should be coming out pretty soon. Really happy with that recording. I'm also recording next month with my brother, Michael. So we've got a band called the Evgenikos Brothers. There's a lot more on the way.
That's a pretty good name, I reckon.
I think it's taken.
So there's lots of great jazz coming from the world of Tom Evgenikos, whether it be the Evgenikos Brothers or Tucker Box or Big Ears. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time out of your evening to have a chat to us tonight. It's been great to be able to spend a little bit of time with you. When are you next likely to be down in Melbourne?
Oh, I think I'm coming early next year. Planning around April.
So, I think we might have a little bit of a listen to another piece of music from the Delay 45 album called Big Ears. And the one that I reckon we might have a listen to, and I'm wondering whether there's a story behind this, The Road to Wernigerode.
Well, this one's a bit of a funny story. Last year, the band actually toured around Europe. I managed to, in the first minute of getting the hire car, I managed to scrape it on the side.
Oh no!
Yeah, on the way to a small German town called Wernigerode.
That explains it entirely. Well, Tom, as I said, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight. We look forward to chatting to you in the new year in 2020. Gee, it sounds a long way away, but it's only a month. We look forward to chatting to you in the new year and hearing more about your music from Sydney. And let's have a listen to The Road to Wernigerode.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.